when I was a child, I think Tu B'Shvat just is two things. Number one, you sang in school Tu B'Shvat Higia Chag LeIlanot. That, you know, your yotze. And number two, you got home a bag of dried fruit, right? They, on the way to the bus, they would give every kid a plastic Ziploc bag of dried fruit, and that was Tu B'Shvat. And you see that in recent years, there's more of an interest and more of keeping, following Tu B'Shvat, having a Tu B'Shvat Seder, people have in certain communities. And what is there to it? What's the deeper message to Tu B'Shvat? So I came across something really fascinating that I'd like to share with you. But before we get there, just to remind everyone that today, and also it's Martin Luther King Day, and we should remember all of the contributions that Dr. King has to our society that we have today, and continue to fight the good fight like he did. January 21st, today, is sponsored by the Gottlieb family, commemorating the yahrzeit of Michael's mother, Mrs. Rebecca Gottlieb, Alta Rivka Bash Mualeib. Our learning today, she serves as an Eloi for his neshama, for her neshama, Bigan Eden Shel Mala.
Amen.
That was my first year in the shul. It was January 2011 that she passed away. Rabbi Yudin was away then also, I remember. Okay, so what's the source for Tu B'Shvat? How do we know that there's a concept called Tu B'Shvat? Where does this come from? How do we know this? Do we know? That's Tu B'Av. That's Tu B'Av where those things are going. Right? You're dreaming of the summer. You want, right? Something warmer.
Warm would be nice.
Where we can go outside, right? Together and enjoy and not run into your car really, really fast. So the source for Tu B'Shvat is not from the Torah, but it's from a Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The first Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah teaches us that there are four different days of the year that are designated as Rosh Hashanahs, different types of first of the years. And let's look on inside, source one. Arba'a Rosh Hashanah Heim. There are four different Rosh Hashanahs. The first one is the first of Nisan. Is the Rosh Hashanah for kings? How do you determine what the first day of the fiscal year for the king is? When you determine the years of the kings? Nisan. And for regalim, that if someone dedicated a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, he has three different regalim. One that started, one opinion of the Gemara is that it starts at Nisan. Elul, the first day of Elul, Becha B'Elul, is Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Behema. And some argue that's in Tishrei. The third is the Rosh Hashanah that we know and love, and that is the first of Tishrei. That's a Rosh Hashanah for Shanim. That's what we follow, right? Shanim, for years. Shemitah, Yovel, Netiya, Yerakos. Okay? For Shemitah and Yovel, they all begin on the first day of Tishrei. That's already three. Nisan, Elul, Tishrei. And now let's focus on the last one, and you tell me what's incongruous or what's wrong, what seems strange about this line in the Mishnah. Be'echad b'shvat, Rosh Hashanah l'ilan. The first day of Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah for the tree, k'divrei Beit Shammai, like the opinion of Shammai. Hillel omrim, Hillel say, b'chamisha asar bo, it's on the 15th. When is the Rosh Hashanah for the Ilan? Beis Shammai says the first day of Shvat. Beis Hillel says on the 15th day of Shvat. What seems off about this line in the Mishnah? There's really two questions here. One is a grammatical question, and one is a bigger Shas question.
Everybody agrees on all the other ones. It's always on the first day of a given month. Here this seems to be...
It's incongruous in that way.
It's a disagreement they have. It's two different
It's days. Strange that we would say the Rosh Hashanah for any day should be in the middle of a month. Every other Rosh Hashanah is in the beginning of a month. Okay, that's a third question. That is a question. I was going to address that, but I wasn't going to ask that.
I don't sit with the...
So actually, there is an argument before also. I glanced over it, but it's machlokas about Elul. Is Elul really Rosh Hashanah? Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon say no.
Isn't it
Right. So Joel, you're actually following the opinion of Tosfos. So Tosfos says that really the Rosh Hashanah for the Ilan is really Tishrei. But when do you know when the fruit, when do you know that it actually started growing on Tishrei? When the fruit comes out, the Chanata, the first budding comes out on the 15th of Shvat. So that's it, but it goes back to the Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei. We're not going to follow that opinion this morning. Awesome. Awesome. So, Ilan. Rosh Hashanah, right? What's the song? Tu Bishvat Higi Chagla. Ilan note. The holiday of the trees. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah is so precise. Rosh Hashanah Le Ilan. Okay? It's Rosh Hashanah for the tree, not for the trees in plural. So that's question number two. Question number one, why would you even have 15? Why would that even be a thought that you'd have Rosh Hashanah on the 15th? Two, Rosh Hashanah Ilan. And third, is that usually when the Gemara presents the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it says Beis Shammai omrim blank. Beis Hillel say blank. What does it say here? The first of Shvat is a holiday, kidivrei, like the words of Beit Shammai, and then the 15th is kidivrei, is like Beis Hillel says. Why Beis Hillel says? Why is it like that? Okay, three questions. Beis Hillel Beis Shammai doesn't fit the regular machlokas in Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Why does the Mishnah say Ilan and not Ilanot? And third, why does the why is their opinion that Rosh Hashanah, for any Rosh Hashanah, would fall out on the 15th and not on the 1st? So we have three different approaches to these answers, to these questions. Let's begin with source one at the bottom. We'll get back to Rashi in a moment. The Bnei Yisraskar. The Bnei Yisraskar is of Tzvi Elimelech Midinov, called the Dinover Rebbe. He wrote two Sfarim. One is the Bnei Yisraskar, which is a sefer discussing the months of the year. There are 12 different chapters, which are very long, but discussing the from a Kabbalistic and a Hasidic view, all the different the meaning and intention of the month itself. So we're going to learn two different pieces from him this morning. He writes here, why does it say Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan? Because there's only one mitzvah in the Torah that has to deal with a tree in a positive way. Which mitzvah is that?
Grafting.
Oh, that's negative. Negative. What's the Ilan, right? What was a, one of the possibilities for the Ilan, the tree, in the Eitz HaSadeh? That's from the rabbis. I mean, it might be from the Torah. The Esrog. The Esrog, Rosh Hashanah Li'ilan. And he says, the Mishnah here is alluding to a minhag. There is a minhag that on Tu Bishvat, you start to daven, or you daven for a kosher Esrog. You daven for a kosher Esrog,
wow.
And that begins today. That begins today, pre-Eitz Adar, right, the beautiful tree. What is the most beautiful of all of the fruits? The Torah says the Esrog. And that's why many rabbis, they took time out of their day on Tu Bishvat to daven for the Esrog. And that's a hint. That's Merumas in the Mishnah. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. When do you daven for your Esrog? You daven for it over there. That's answer approach number one. What? Not that the Esther said it grow, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the appropriate Esrog when you get there. The Esrog is compared to your heart. is Doma Lalev. You should have a connection to it. It should be holy. It should be not just kosher. It should be something that you connect to and something that is mehudar in nature. That's the first approach. Second approach to this question of why Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan comes from a sefer Daf Al Daf. He quotes the Eretz Tzvi. The Eretz Tzvi was one of the Rebbe's, the Kajik Lava Rebbe. And he writes that what else is an eitz, a tree, compared to? Ki eitz chayim hi lamacha zikim ba, to Torah. And we'll get back to this soon, but the Egle Tal, the Sukkachever Rebbe, is quoted in his Sefer as saying that on Tu Bishvat and on, he felt a different connection to his Torah than he felt the rest of the year. Right? Rosh Hashanah, the Ilanot, is referring to our Torah. That it's not only, right? That we learn Torah all year round, but during this time of the year, we can connect to our Torah in a deeper and more profound way. That's Rosh Hashanah v'ilan, and not ilanot. However, the Bnei Yisrael, yeah.
Isn't it also, if I remember correctly, at this time of the year, you're getting more daylight, and now you're able to learn more Torah, no?
The day is becoming more?
Longer.
Yeah, that started earlier in the year. I started earlier already. I started earlier, yeah.
Not really, because I think the day got longer, but from the end of the day. It's a very, for the first 3 weeks of the, when it hits December 21st,
right,
the day gets longer, but right, not from the morning. Actually, in theory, it actually gets shorter, but it's getting longer from the end of the day. But I think it just started a couple of days ago, maybe even a week ago. It actually starts the day, starts to get longer.
Within
the last week.
The overall daylight, you mean? Total amount of daylight.
Total daylight increases.
I assume that happened
December 21st. But the mornings actually are getting shorter, but the nighttime is getting longer, but at a quicker pace than the morning.
Right.
That's why you know. I always say, I don't understand why. But you have to understand there has to be a God for something like that to happen. It's not a normal way of looking at things. So it's like at the end of the day, but
That shows it's more daylight.
The Zaman for Talisman's film was getting later.
Right.
After December 21st. It wasn't getting earlier.
Uh-huh.
And first started to turn around within the last week or so.
The Bnei Yisrael presents a third approach, which I really want to discuss at length, or a little bit longer, is the tree is compared to something else. We had a tree as the tree, the esrog. Tree is Torah, or a tree is ki adam eitz hasadeh. Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim. You can't cut the trees. How do you read that pasuk? But we are nimshal. We are all compared to a tree. Now, what does this mean? That a person's compared to a tree? All right, we have minhagim that we have that upsharing compared to a tree. 3 years old, that's the Orla Netta Ravai connection. But why is it? In which way is a person compared to a tree? And how does this tie back into the machlokas between Beis Sham and Beis Hillel? So Bnei Yisrael says the following. And I'll preface this with Rav Zevin. Rav Zevin was a great Rav who lived in Yerushalayim. He wrote several Sfarim, and he wrote one Sefer called Ishim Vishitot. And he went through all of Shas and said that sometimes the rabbinic opinions in the Gemara follow their personalities. And he said that Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, throughout Shas, always focused on two things. Beis Shammai focused on the potential, and Beis Hillel always focused on the actual, right? And he ties it into every machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. I'll give you one example. What's Chanukah to think about more? I was thinking how to tie into Chanukah. He ties into Chanukah. That's the most famous machlokas, Shammai Hillel. But there's a little lesser known one is what's the bracha that we make on fire on Moshe Shabbos? We say Borei Me'orei Ha'esh. God created the many fires, the lights of the fires, many of them. Me'orei. What does Shammai say? Bore Me'or Ha'esh, created the light of the fire. Which light of the fire? The original fire, way, way back in time. And from that fire, many other fires were created. Shammai focuses on that, since that one fire is created, there's now potential in the world for more fire to happen. Hillel says, no. This is what is here right now in the world. Many. Potential versus actual. This is the machlokas here in our Gemara. Shammai says, when do we celebrate Rosh Hashanah Li'ilan? The first day. Why? In the first day of the month, that's when you have all the potential of the month. Nothing yet happened in the month. The moon is not there. Nothing yet happened, but the potential for all the koach, for all the greatness of this month, is all there. That's why we have Shabbos Mevarchim. We daven that the month should be a bountiful and plentiful month of blessings. But it doesn't happen yet. So Shammai says, when do we start? With the potential. Hillel says, no. When do we celebrate the holiday? On the 15th. Why on the 15th? That's the actual. That's when the moon is at full. It's whole. You see the entire moon on Tesvav. Last night was a lunar eclipse. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. Okay, that's a different discussion. But you see here that's the machlokas. And when do you celebrate? So, B'nai Yisrael says, what are we celebrating? The potential of man? Or the actual, what we accomplished already, what we have in this world? And the B'nai Yisrael says that really, we actually follow Hillel, practically, but we also agree to Shammai. That's why the Mishnah doesn't follow the regular rules. It doesn't say Beis Shammai says this, and Beis Hillel says this. The Mishnah says, Rosh Hashanah Li'ilan, Kidivrei, and then Beis Hillel says the 15th. Why? The Imrei Emes, the Ger Rebbe, quotes his great-grandfather, the Chidush HaRim, saying that when it comes to this month, we will follow Shammai in the future. The Arizal says that in the future we're going to follow the opinions of Beis Shammai. Why is that? We're going to celebrate the potential of man. Why? The actual is right here. We're Nani Miziv Ashrina. We're reaping our reward in the future. We're celebrating all the potential that we were able to accrue and accomplish in this world. We're going to follow the opinion of Shammai. So Shammai is not wrong. We have to have a balancing act in life, recognizing our potential on one hand and appreciating what we already accomplished, and then moving forward in life to continue to grow just like the tree. So when it comes to our avodas ha'adam, when it comes to our job in this world, we have to always toggle back and forth between the Shammai world and the Hillel world, looking at what we have yet to accomplish, our potential in this world, and appreciating and sitting back and saying, wow, look how much I accomplished in this world.
How does that apply to candles? Shammai is saying we're putting the maximum and we'll go way down. Is that potential?
No, because the whole potential is for 8 days. So when it comes to the Hanukkah candles, why do we light 8 the first day? That's the koach that you have. In the first day, you have the potential for 8 days. 8 days, that's what you have. Second day, how much is left? 7. The potential in this world for Hanukkah this year, Tavshin Ayin Tes, is 7 days. Now the Maharal says, we're really like a tree, but we're the opposite of a tree. We're an upside a man, right? Mankind is an upside down tree. Man is called, look in source 4, it's called the tree of the field, but a man is a tree of the field, but really we're an upside down tree. A tree's roots are in the ground. Deeply rooted into the ground. Yeah, deeply rooted into the ground, you can't have peiros. But where are our roots?
Shamayim.
Right? Man's hands. Man's source is the source of his being. It still exists in the spiritual world. Our hands are our branches. Legs of the branches are off of those branches, while his body is the trunk. For a tree's sustenance from the ground, while man's sustenance is from Shamayim. We need to deeply be rooted to our source, to our Shorashim. Just like a tree cannot grow and cannot bear fruit in this world without being completely connected to this world, We cannot bear fruit in this world without completely being completely connected to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, to our spiritual sustenance in this world. But then what does Tu Bishvat itself represent? Barry, this is amazing. If you go back to source one, Rashi says, Joel, you quoted earlier the opinion of Tosfos. Rashi says a different reason. Why is it that on Tu Bishvat we're celebrating the holiday? What's unique about Shvat that all of a sudden now it's Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos? So Rashi says something very halachic, which the Sfarim say is a beautiful message. So if you look at source two, Rashi says, in the second line, in the wider box, Ho'el v'yatsu rov gishmeshana, Shekvar, right, most of the rain already happened. It snowed, it hailed last week in Yerushalayim. Most of the rain already in Eretz Yisrael already happened. Baruch Hashem, it rained a lot last week all throughout Eretz Yisrael. Shekvar ava rov yemosa kashamim, shehu zman revia. Now what happens, you don't see any fruit in the tree. If you look in it, the fruit are still not budding in Eretz Yisrael. But what do you see? Nothing. But you see something in the tree. In the tree, v'allah hasraf bilanos, v'nimsu ha'peros chonti me'ata. The sap inside the tree begins to move, and you see already inside the dormant tree of the winter begins to move inside and eventually will begin to bear fruits. That the tree, right, you look outside today, today's a great example, but also in Eretz Yisrael, the trees do not yet have fruit. They're bare. There's nothing on them. But inside, they start to move. They're starting to move. And so too, a Jew. There's so much potential inside of each and every one of us. Sometimes we lie dormant during certain parts of the year. The Meiri writes, Tu Bishvat is the middle of the winter. Right? It represents the midpoint of the winter. Where it's so dark, it's so gloomy, it's so cold, we don't want to move. Right? And Tu Bishvat represents that inner growth, that inner potential that each of us have. Now, this source, I've never heard this before. If you did, let me know. What happened historically on Tu Bishvat? Anyone know what happened historically on Tu Bishvat? Rabbi Yudin, if he was here, he would say it was worth it to come just for this source. This is unbelievable. Rav Tzadok HaKomi Lublin says the following. Right, we just experienced in the Parshiot, B'shalach az yeshir kriyas yam suv yitzias Mitzrayim. When did this all begin? Let's take a step back. Okay, take a step back. We left, what day did we leave Egypt? What day was that? When was that? What day? What day of Nisan? The 15th of Nisan. 15th of Nisan. Now, according to one opinion, each of the Makos was how long? A week. How many Makos were there? 10. So, how many months is that?
2.5.
2.5, right? About 2.5 months.
10 weeks.
So, 10 weeks. So, when did the Makos start? Do the math. When did the Makos start? Shvat. Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Rosh Chodesh Shvat. When did the Geula begin? The Geula began in Shvat. The Makos began in Shvat. That's when the wheel started turning for the Jewish people, for Am Yisrael, for all of us, for our nation. Right? Amazing. Amazing, right? V'chashav shehamakos. This is the Tzadok HaKomi Lublin. It's amazing. Yesh omrin ki mishvat hitchilu hamakos l'mitzrayim, l'fichach nikra shvat shevet l'mitzrayim. There's an opinion in the Medrash that says the Makos already began in Shvat. V'chashav shamakos shimshu kol echad shavua echad atesvav nisan shiyatsu. They lasted until the 15th of Nisan. Again, you had an extra few days to leave. Uv mishna de adios de mishpan of Mitzrayim shnei masar chodesh gam omru de chomaka hasra im shimush hamaka haya chodesh ad ayin sham udasa gemara u'medrash hitchilu az shalosh makos achronos sheyu keneged shalosh yishonos. Right, and they all began during this time. Now, why Shvat? What's unique about Shvat? Shebahem hutsiyum ha-miyamitzriyim ha-pnimiyas ha-kedusha she-ha-meshuka bahem. Right? In Shvat, already the kedusha of the Jewish people started moving from the inside to the outside. The potential of the Jewish people was dormant for 210 years. Just like the winter. Just like the trees are all bare, they're all bare, the sap starts moving inside. I don't know if Rashi's accurate, technically based on science, but the sap started moving inside, and that's the wheel started turning for the Jewish people, maka after maka, until not only did they become a free nation, not only did they move from becoming Avdei Paro to Avdei Hashem to become B'nei Chorin, but we became holier. Right? Our Minakoach Alapoel, from the Shammai to the Hillel, that all began in the Rosh, the Chodesh of Shvat.
So now, when you contrast this, you probably have these 3 months, you probably don't have greater consecutive 3 months, greater than any three other consecutive months, because you have now, you have this to Bishvat, you have Purim, and then you have Pesach.
Right, so some Sfarim point
that
out.
That alignment, yeah. Especially because you're going into Purim, which is still darkness, right? And you have the potential of Esther.
Yeah.
And then you go into the spring, and you're having the potential of Pesach.
So, Mendy, what you're pointing out, as some Sfarim point out here, is that once Tu Bishvat begins, you don't go another 2 weeks without another holiday. Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mishneh Chodesh Adar, Marbet Mesimcha, that you have, right? Purim. You move and move and move. It all starts. Not only did the Geula begin then, but the Geula, the time of Simcha for the Jewish people, begins today with Tu Bishvat. It's amazing. And Rav Avram Shor, right? It's amazing. Amazing, right? So Rav Avram Shor quotes in his Sefer, the Morning Suvis says that in Lasid Lavo, Yemosa Mashiach, what's going to happen? Kol Ilani Straksha Be'eretz Yisrael, all of the bare trees. God originally intended that there should be no bare trees. All the trees that we have that are beautiful outside of our homes, that have beautiful colors throughout the autumn and the fall months, right? God intended for every single tree to bear fruit. So every single tree, every single bare tree, Lasid Lavo, is going to bear fruits. This is not only a message, beautiful message for what messianic times are going to look like in our, Bezrat Hashem, in our days very, very soon, but it's a message for us that the Ilan Yisrak, we may feel that some of us have more fruit and some of us have less fruit. Some of us have bared many payros in this world, and some as much as we have, there's still more to do. But he says that Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh, Tu Bishvat's a reminder that we have more to do. We have more fruit to bear. We have the Ilan Yisrak of the winter, and the potential of what we could bring out is so great. We're the upside down tree. If we keep our Shorashim connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we keep our head up high, focused on our goals, focused on growth, just like a tree is Someach, just like Tu Bishvat, we can connect and we can continue to grow and celebrate many, many glorious times for the Jewish people, for ourselves communally, nationally, and also for ourselves. I wish everyone a happy Tu Bishvat.